Hello and good afternoon, Xbox Nation. Welcome to this week's new episode of the Xbox Lunch Break Special. I'm your host, Mr. Boomstick XL, and not only do we have outstanding slanderous topics, but we also have the slanderous one himself making his, well, I mean, he's really home, but he was available today. He jumped on. Crispy Bomb, what's going on, brother? Good morning, good afternoon. Let's go, man. How you feeling?
I'm feeling okay. You know, yesterday was not good as far as sports teams, but other than that, I mean, seen a lot of interesting topics going on in the socials, as we like to call them, and we're going to get into some of those. So I'm definitely looking forward to it, and super glad to be here. Shout out to the chat. Let's share this out. Hit that like button. Come on, people. Like we might get a little slanderous for Double Bear gaming status, but it needs to be said, in my opinion.
Sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do. Yeah, you know, we're not gonna be cursing and be a bunch of sailors over here, even though there is a good pirate game that would allow you to do that. We're gonna have fun, folks, as we do on these shows. And speaking of fun, because last night's show was absolutely amazing with two outstanding guests. Web Dave, what's going on, brother? Great show last night. I popped in to check it out for a little bit. K Mega doing what he does best. And of course, your other guest was just as good.
Yeah, Gaming Forte. Yep.
Yeah, Gaming amazing. Forte. That's right. Yeah. He actually, Gaming Forte, very good friend of mine. I haven't had him on in a while. He helped us, and I say us, me and Mrs. Boom, launch Primetime Gaming. And unfortunately, due to his work schedule, Forte, one half of DPS, which of course is an amazing podcast with Slow Mo Backslap, he had to take a step backwards. But we got to get him on, and no one knows better than him.
Yeah, it was a great show last night, great guest panel, and of course Retri just absolutely knocked it out of the park. It was a fun show had by all, and it's up now for replay, so check it out. There is no new episode of my other show today. That's because I'm building up anticipation for next week's episode.
Interesting. Yes, very interesting. Yes. Looking forward to that. Well, listen, Dave, thanks so much for being here, brother. Definitely missed you last week, but we're glad to have you back. I'm glad that things kind of worked out the way that they worked out.
They did.
Excellent. It's always good to hear. So, and last but not least, because we do have Crazy Lou Gaming, but he's running a few minutes behind, so we'll get him momentarily. One of the best racers in the business, probably making him sick watching me drive. Fuzzy Belvedere, what's going on, brother? How you feeling?
Well, I'm feeling great. Glad to be here with you guys. Yeah, like Crispy said, the socials have been a little crazy as far as some of their claims. But we're going to definitely have some fun with this today. Some awesome topics. Xbox still in the news in a good way. I know there's some mumblings about some other stuff, but we'll get into that as well. But a lot to do. Let's get into it.
Yeah, we have a lot to cover. The Xbox news gods have been kind. So obviously, I think anyone that knows me or knows of the channel know that I had my first start in podcasting with Mooch and Crap Gamer on Crossfire. I stayed on that show for 3 years. I had a very good time. I learned a lot of the ropes from watching Mooch be a host because he's a fantastic host. And of course, after 3 years there, due to, a commitment with Mrs. Boom, Friday nights became a little difficult because, she was no problem with me doing it, but it was time away from her. Her time is in the evening, which is why I don't do a lot of guesting, because I do 5 shows a week and my time is limited, because in the evening is all dedicated to her, which is what a good husband is supposed to do. So I spent 3 years there. I've been back once or twice to guest appear, when Mrs. Boom was like hanging out with her sisters or her friends or whatever. And I haven't been back since, because it's been in the last couple of, I don't say last 2 years, so very toxic. So that's not the kind of content I enjoy being a part of, because I'm not a toxic person by nature. And what we're about to bring up, folks, and I have an audio cue, and everyone on the socials are talking about this, because apparently, Crispy Bomb, there was a Microsoft employee that Mooch had as a guest. And he does, in fact, have his own YouTube channel. He does, in fact, have a podcast. And he does have Twitter account or an X account as well. I looked into it. I can assure you from what I know about Microsoft PR, he does not work for Microsoft. And if he does, he's probably not affiliated with main Microsoft, because there's no way they would allow someone to go on a podcast and say what he said, which makes no sense. But we're going to get into it. And of course, we're going to back end what this supposed Microsoft employee had to say with something that came out today about Capcom, and once again proving how Xbox Game Pass is not value destructive. But let me just pause this footage here, and let me just do a screen share so you folks can see exactly what I am talking about. Just again, I'm going to do this live, so just bear with me while I set it up. And I'm going to do the share screen right now. And here we go. Let me just bring this up. Let me just go full screen. And again, I want you to, this is on Crossfire. And again, this is not a dig at Mooch and what they do over there. That's not what this is about. This is about simply the Microsoft employee and what he had to say specifically about Xbox Game Pass. You're going to find it as preposterous as I did, but here we go.
I do work for Microsoft. I at the same time, I'm not a huge proponent on Game Pass, because I'm a gamer and I love games. I think that games are, especially AAA games, experiences. And I think that asking for that in a subscription-based model to that caliber is an impossibility. And in order for us to get that, we're going to have to start paying more for games and more for these subscription services. Yeah. So, I agree with you 100%. Is it something to which is the ideal scenario for the gaming environment? Absolutely not, if you ask me. That's my opinion at the end of the day. It's not a fact, but it's my opinion from what I've seen. I do work for Microsoft. So
I'm going to let that play again.
At the same time,
for anyone that's just coming in,
I'm not a huge proponent on Game Pass, because I'm a gamer and I love games. I think that games are, especially AAA games and experiences. And I think that asking for that in a subscription-based model to that caliber is an impossibility. And in order for us to get that, we're going to have to start paying more for games and more for these subscription services. Yeah. So, I agree with you 100%. Is it something to which is the ideal scenario for the gaming environment? Absolutely not, if you ask me.
Okay. So I'm going to stop that right there. And I'm going to first go to Crispy Bomb, because you know what's interesting to me? And I'm not a mathematician, folks. I'm a knucklehead podcaster. I got lucky, folks, doing what I'm doing. And my tenacity to not want to fail is why there are 5 shows. Because I enjoy spending time every day with you folks. I enjoy talking about games. And it's the closest I'm going to get to games journalism, which I wanted to do until I saw how young of a atmosphere it was. And I'm just too old for this shit. So I figured, let me just continue talking in front of the mic, which I enjoy doing. And I really, really am privileged to be here. The one thing I find almost ridiculous is the statement that I'm a gamer and I like games. And somehow he's insinuating that Game Pass is what? Industry destructive? Xbox destructive? Where are we going with this? But you know what's interesting? Very interesting is he says 2 key points that, again, make no goddamn sense whatsoever. And those 2 points are, well, if games are going to be going to cost more. Who did that? Oh, that's right. That was PlayStation that initiated the $70 game, $76.43 with tax here in New Rochelle. Okay. And it makes a mention of this. Prices going up for your subscription service. Well, who did that? Shit. Oh, that's right. That was PlayStation. They raised it by $40 and gave the people, including me, which I unsubbed. I did it live on the air, folks. You saw it. I unsubbed. $40 extra for the premium service. You know what you get with it? Ugats is what you get with it, right? Microsoft raised it by $2. And I don't know, maybe they added a bunch of content that is so value proponent that we have backlogs that are twice my size and I'm 6 feet. Crispy, again, this is, I want people to understand, this is not a dig at what Mooch does at Crossfire. He has a great channel. He does the content what he likes. I will always be grateful for the shot that he gave me and allowed me to learn the business, watching him, being on his show for 3 years, and I moved on to do my own thing. But this is not about that. This is about what the Microsoft employee had to say. Let's break this down.
Oh, Boom, you're such my spirit animal. Like, I mean, I'm going to be straight with you guys. You're not going to find it on Crossfire's channel. I have been on there twice. Okay. As soon as what I'm about to say, and it's facts, by the way, and some of it, Boom already said. But as soon as I would say that, I would have screaming in my ear.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the shows I was on, this is when Crap was kind of in between his thing. He challenged me on Gears. Now, I think everybody in the chat knows, do not challenge me on Gears. I literally destroyed him, and Mooch, to my knowledge, unless it's somewhere in the ether now, took the show down. Another time I was invited on, same similar things, more about Xbox. Show doesn't exist. I've also been on Brap. I've been on Weapon Wheel. People, all those shows don't exist, people. They took them down. There's a reason why they don't like to talk to gamers themselves. They will, a gamer will bring facts. And what Boom just said is absolutely true. The first thing I would say is, sir, you do realize that Sony's the one pushing the narrative to charge more for games. You do realize that. Now, a $2 increase on Xbox Ultimate does not justify anything you're saying right now. Also, let's be honest. Who knows if he actually works for Microsoft or not? Maybe he told Mooch that, which could be a fact. Okay? Because I'll be honest with you, the one person when I was on there that was at least trying to let me speak was Mooch, and I will give him credit for that, okay? Because at the end of the day, it's supposed to be Crossfire, is it not? It's supposed to be, you know, interjecting opinions. But lately, all I see is an echo chamber. And I've literally tweeted out, I want to go on PlayStation Podcast and have an actual conversation and not be screamed over. Let me get my bars in. I will let you get yours in. But when you're constantly cut off, which nobody did on that panel, nobody said a darn word. And Mooch always has big panels. And what does that say to you? Oh, we want this dude to say this. I challenge people to, and we saw this through somebody else, just don't watch. They're all about clicks. Most of these guys that are on these panels were Xbox people before this. They got their start trashing PlayStation. You don't realize it. I've been watching podcasting for 9 years now, and I've been doing it for almost 6 now. Okay? I have been on all types of podcasts. Just stop watching it. And then you're going to see them switch, and then you get to laugh. Do you know why Crap ain't there no more? There's a reason. Do you know why Xbox 448 ain't there no more? There's a reason. Mm-hmm. If you can't, if the entire panel, not really, I'm going to tell you right now, Mooch tries to, you know, navigate it, and he does love the slander and stuff like that, but there's a point in time where I've seen him get frustrated, like, let him talk, you know, for a second. And it's completely went away from that. And it's terrible that somebody that we have no confirmation whatsoever is saying that they work for Xbox or Microsoft. I mean, are you in the Windows team? I mean, what are we doing here? Because I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of approval process for somebody from Microsoft to actually talk. I mean, the amount that it took for you to get Larry Herb on, you know, Boomstick, it's months, incredible.
Months,
you know what I'm saying?
Months I had to go through a rigorous, and I mean absolute rigorous, background check. They checked every my former employee, which everyone knows is the NYPD. I gave them everything. I had to provide everything. You just Microsoft does not just let someone from shoot from the hip on a podcast. That is not the way it works. I can assure you that either he lied or he is a contractor. And even then, at that point, I don't know if he would ever be allowed to say what he said. Listen, you can have your opinion, but you can't. You don't go out there and be like, "Oh yeah, you know, this is, I'm a gamer, so I like games." And if you like games, isn't Game Pass like a smorgasbord of games? It made literally no damn sense.
And I'm going to leave it at this. If you want to bring facts into the equation, the slate for 2024 for Xbox is mostly single player. What is that funded by? The games as a service games that are still a part of Game Pass. You can choose to buy something or you don't. And this is where I go and say, me and Crap Gamer have completely, like, we're good. Okay. And we, if you ever saw the podcast, some people might have saw it. You would say we should hate each other. Okay. But there comes a time where you finally get that click and you say, man, this makes total sense. And the amount of hatred I had for Gears 5 at points in times where I had people defending Gears who didn't play it like me was incredible. And I go and say, I always said that I felt like it was an experiment because it was the biggest IP that dropped in Game Pass to that date. It was the most important. Gears 4 and Gears 5 like basically made Game Pass what it is. And they were experimenting. And I hated it. But I still loved the actual, you know, gravitas of the game, what it was. It was still good. And I look at people and I say, but what it could be for them to cook this long, that is because of Game Pass. There is no need for a Gear 6 next year. I don't think it's even going to happen. I think I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be the end of the gen, I'm thinking now.
Because and they don't need a rush. There's so many games in development first party. They can take their
time. What do we see? South of Midnight, Hellblade 2. We know it's coming soon. Dude, yeah. They are trying to make genre-defining games like PlayStation, we always give them credit for, but putting their own spin on it. You understand what I'm saying? Like South of Midnight, like, what do they get? They just got an award, I think, or something.
They did get an award, yeah, for the way they told the story through the graphics, yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, Phil understands that single-player games matter. And this is what we've always said about Phil. Like he loves single player games just like Boom. He also loves like, you know, like kind of a little bit of gas in there. Like, hey, I could buy something and you know, like that'll make my enjoyment better. I mean, Fortnite does it all the time, does it not? I mean, it makes total sense. But to have this base of Game Pass that allows you to experiment because at the end of the day, they do need to make money or Phil doesn't have his job. Correct. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, that's what it comes down to. And one last point. If games as a service and, you know, not being superbly AAA didn't matter, why did Jim Ryan pivot to 12? And now I'm sure it's like maybe 5 if they're lucky after Sony took back over. Now, I do believe that he went a little extreme, but he sees what is going on. And that's, you know, you can release a free-to-play game and still make a ton of money in the back end. And that's what these companies do. They try to make money. Sony just happens to say, consumer, pay us. And that's where I would leave it on that podcast at that point.
Exactly. No, it's a great point. Dave, I want to bring you in on the conversation. I want you to respond to the, you know, I don't know, it was like a minute and 40 seconds that we heard from this knucklehead. That supposedly works for Microsoft, but I want to bring some more evidence because I'm all about evidence, folks, right? I was a former lawman, right? So, of course, I have to bring evidence if I'm going to prosecute, right? That's what I do. Thanks to Astal on Twitter, who consistently puts out great you know, content, he's reporting that Xbox Game Pass release of Exo Primal, according to PureXbox.com, gave Capcom, one of the biggest publishers in Japan, one of the biggest publishers in gaming, gave Capcom a large digital revenue boost because they released Exo Primal, a new IP, directly into Game Pass. So, of course, now maybe you don't consider it AAA. I played a ton of it, and I absolutely freaking loved it. It was amazing. I love playing with randos, and I play, and obviously the PvE aspect of it was absolutely amazing. And we, and there's still another one coming next year, which is going to be dope. Let's talk about how he loves games. He loves AAA games, but somehow or another, because of Xbox Game Pass, the industry as a whole is going to raise prices on subscription services as well as game services, when we know Sony did both of those and Microsoft was the last to actually do it. Let's talk about it.
He definitely is a chode. He's being very disingenuous with first his proclamation that he works for Microsoft. You called it out in every sense of the word. This dude does not work for Microsoft. He may be a contractor. You look at his page, his Twitter page. It's all about PlayStation and quotes and Spider-Man and all this, which is fine if you're a big fan of all that. But it's clearly his narrative, and his other posts are not that he works for Microsoft. Because usually, especially consider Microsoft as one of the best companies in the world to work for, not just gaming companies, companies in general, mm-hmm. in the top five rated games, companies, all over the world to work for on all different lists, Forbes and all kinds of, you know, places that have that check those metrics and do interviews with staff and employees. And it's like, so his, you wouldn't, I mean, even somebody who doesn't necessarily agree with maybe, you know, the way all the benefits that Game Pass is. I mean, have you seen what Sony's offering and what, how much they charge? You know, you go up like a dollar on Game Pass, which is like about $12 a year that it increased for the year, where Sony, their base, which you do not get day and date, you get very limited games.
And I mean, heck, they took out Spider-Man 2018 from their service right before Spider-Man 2 came out, so they could sell it to you again in a triple pack.
Yeah, and it's $40 increase. Mm-hmm. Big disparaging amount of difference between the two. So there's that, you know, and we all have Game Pass, and we all know the benefits of Game Pass. So it's, like I said, he's clearly, somebody like that speaks out and like that they know everything. I don't know everything, people. I'm a banker. I used to be a former GameStop and manager for 12 years. So I know a little bit about gaming, played a lot of games, have a lot of fun. I enjoy gaming. I'm not a great gamer, never claimed to be. But I enjoy it. It's fun. It's my hobby. And you can just tell that this guy has got a stick up his ass. clearly doesn't. But the way he's talking, he has a mission to try and make the Xbox is bad, PlayStation's good, and it's everything he said. If you watch even further in the interview, he rambles some more. He basically hangs himself a little bit, and I wish like Mooch had maybe said, you know, so you say you work at X or you work for Microsoft. What do you do there? You know, what division, what part do you work in? And then maybe you could have cleared it up a little bit, but he's being so vague. Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of people. Well, let's call a really great friend of yours. And, that's been on your show before, 3-Bit.
Yeah.
Who has worked for Microsoft as an animator on Fable. We know that he works in it, but he, and he's been on some podcasts, but he clearly has a thing where he says, you know, there's certain things I can't talk about. Right. We're not going down this road. He's very precise in his viewpoints and stuff mm-hmm. that he talks about. He's proud of his work. He can hardly wait for everybody to see what he's done when the game finally releases, but he won't talk about it. And I don't blame him. I mean, he's under NDAs and all that kind of stuff. The guy is a fraud. You can just tell. And I've watched a little bit of Mooch's show. And it's like you said, it's a good show. I believe it's definitely, I think it's at a turning point, kind of like the industry is right now. We'll see how Crossfire holds up a year from now when Microsoft is not necessarily the market leader, but at least more dominating of this generation because of their content and their continued acquisitions, which are not done yet.
So we will see
how a show like that, you know, grows.
They're going to have to pivot, right? They're eventually going to have to pivot. Or, I mean, listen, at the end of the day, if Xbox isn't your bag, I hear you. I'm not going to tell you what you should podcast, but I'm going to tell you that you're going to see a change for a lot of the podcasting community, because once the piling on Microsoft or Xbox is no longer fun or profitable, more importantly, that you're going to see a lot of them switch gears.
Yeah, because you saw a lot of content creators flip, you know, that were like, you know, even I didn't watch him back this far, so I don't know, but I heard like the Red Dragon used to be big on Xbox, and then now he's all about, you know, hating Xbox.
So did MBG.
Oh, there you go. MBG was an Xbox guy.
Yeah, he was.
So it's absolutely like. But will those guys flip back? Probably not.
No, they won't.
But if it came to the point to where it was financially beneficial for them to flip, they would.
Yeah, potentially. Again, just keep a keen eye out for it. If you see them start talking, and this goes for the media, folks. Back in the 360 days, Xbox was the media. You know, was the darling to the media. And then obviously, you know, PlayStation, you know, took over because of the Xbox One, you know, fumbling. And it's been Sony ever since. And listen, Sony's dominated for a lot of good reasons. They didn't just, you know, walk into it and trip. They did some really big industry things in regards to like their first party and stuff. So make no mistake, they earned where they were. Now, I'm not giving them that too much credit because they price gouged their fans. It's the point of disgusting. But they're sitting on their hands is why Sony's in turmoil. And you heard about that. If you watched the Iron Lords podcast on Sunday with Jaffe, it was phenomenal. Sony is in disarray. The studios are fighting with one another. There's no leadership. We're not even going to take the time to go into it. So Sony's in a pickle. And they're not the same animal. They've been defanged. I'm gonna tell you that right now. And you can take that, believe me, you don't. We'll see what happens. And just look at the rest of the year. Next year, nothing. And we'll see. But Fuzzy Belvedere, before I bring you in on the conversation, I got to catch up on some super chats. And we have a couple new channel members. First of all, Sith Lord, who's been a channel member for 18 months, brother. Thank you so much for the generosity. He says, Happy Halloween. And what was your favorite candy as a kid and your favorite costume? What is your favorite candy now?
Payday.
Uh, Yeah, well, my favorite candy growing up was I like the Charleston Chews, the strawberry one specifically. I really did like that. I like the chocolate covered cherries, you know, that you buy in the box. That was actually but my favorite costume as a kid was a stormtrooper that I got, which is, I mean, I'm old, folks. I'm 53 for crying out loud. So you can imagine that my costumes came in the, if you remember, folks, if you're as old as I am, you remember going to like a Lambston's or something, and they were in like these boxes, and they were like these real cheapy Charlie plastic things. They look like a smock, actually, and it had the plastic mask with the string. That's what it was. But yeah, mine was the Stormtrooper was one of my favorites.
I got one for that.
Yeah.
So my favorite candy always has been Kit Kat, and more recently I had the Reese's Crispy Crunch.
Nice. Those are
good. Kind of funny, but you know, because it's crispy and it's literally spelled the same way. But it's literally like a Butterfinger and a Reese's had a baby.
Oh, nice.
It is so darn good.
Yeah.
It really is. Like, cause I do like, I have top 10 would be Butterfinger up there, but to have both at the same time, then like peanuts on top covered in chocolate. Amazing.
So it's like a crispy bomb in your mouth.
Oh yeah. Hey, baby. My favorite Halloween costume I've ever, you know, done. Cause I'm not scared easily. Halloween is always like, you know, hit or miss with me, is Rorschach from The Watchmen.
Well, that's a good one, dude.
It like the way, like I look at where we're at now with like some of the, like the TV shows, like, you know, The Boys and stuff like that. Like The Watchmen, they could literally make a TV show out of that. Because like Rorschach was like, you know, like Homelander, but with a little bit of love in there. You know what I mean? Like you had to get through it. Like, but The Watchmen was such a good movie and it was a hit, you know, like what is it, 10 years ago, 15 years ago?
Longer, yeah.
Yeah, and it was so good. And I loved that movie and Rorschach, I was like, man, like the dude that just sits there and just thinks about stuff. And then like he sees somebody getting hurt or something like that. And he just can't handle it. And he goes Rorschach status and just is like, you know, I'm gonna mess you up, bro. You know what I mean? Like that's always been me. And that just always will gravitate towards me.
Nice. That's a good pick. Real quick, Fuzzy, what's your favorite candy, bro? Favorite costume?
Oh, favorite candy is Snickers. Although nice. Peanut butter Twix is another one. And then there's Payday is another one as well. Anything with peanuts and caramel, I'm there for it. But as far as costumes, I can't really remember a lot of my costumes as a kid. I remember more so as an adult doing like Leatherface for myself. But for my kids, we 1 year we made Minecraft Steve out of like cool, just construction dude. Paper. And then there was another year where they both dressed up as like Enzio and I forget the other one as far as for Assassin's Creed.
Oh, that's cool.
Kind of did it as like a homemade thing, going to like the craft store and made it look like, you know, something from Assassin's Creed. Which
that's cool. I like, that's really cool. I like that. That's awesome. And Crazy Lou Gaming, what's your favorite candy and potential costume?
Oh no, do not ask me the costume question. I have a funny story behind that, but I don't know.
Yeah, if it's talk about it.
That would be naked. No.
My favorite candy is actually Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. I'm a big fan of the Reese's Peanut
Excellent.
Butter.
That's a good one.
And Snickers. And since Crispy talked about the crispy peanut butter, man, my mouth started watering. I said, man, I got to get my hands on that. Oh, I don't know how, but I got to try that candy. Ooh. And for Halloween, my God, do I have to really tell this story?
Go ahead, man. Yeah, go for it.
All right. My friend said, oh, let's dress up as Romans. I'm like, okay, let's go dress up as Romans. So literally went full Roman. And they said, you know, Romans did not wear underwear underneath. Oh, I'm no. like, okay. So, yes, we went full Roman.
Oh my God.
So I was right.
Roman Commando.
It went Roman Commando. And so pretty much when I was like probably like 5 or 6 blocks away from home, they took off my sheets. So I had to run all the way back home without my sheets on. So yes, jeez, I literally streamed all over the place. But that was my favorite costume.
Well, there's the nuts in your peanut butter and your chocolate. There you go. Pause. Yeah, listen, you know what? That's a great story. Thanks for sharing. I love it. I love that kind of crazy stuff. Real quick, let me continue with the Super Chats. Adidas 20. Wow, he drops an outstanding $20 Super Chat and says, good morning to you all. Let's go Xbox, brother. Thank you for the generosity. And yes, indeed, let's go Xbox. Eternal Shaddai, generous friend of the program, has become a channel member. Thank you so much, Eternal Shaddai. Jay Rose in the chat drops a very generous $2 Super Chat and says, do you think Microsoft will stop making consoles? Absolutely not. And in my opinion, and I think we're going to talk about this tomorrow, is there a potential for a hybrid Xbox for next gen that is very Switch-like? The answer is yes. There is. They're never going to get away with get away from consoles. They're just not. Because if they would, it would be just another place where people would not be willing. They would make money. Microsoft is about making money. You're going to be able to play Xbox games everywhere, and that is why there's always going to be consoles, because people are going to want their traditional box underneath their TV. Juan in the chat drops a very generous $10 Super Chat. And Juan, thank you so much for the generosity. He says, does that employee know that he can still buy games? So far, we have zero facts about Game Pass being value, quality, destructive, just people with bad takes with no data to support their narrative. Indeed, that's very true. Highlander 001 that doesn't even just drop a $5 Super Chat. He donated, folks, 5 Double Barrel Gaming memberships. Brother, that is incredibly generous of you. Thank you so much for that. And he says, my brother worked for Microsoft, and he was told if you speak out against Game Pass or Microsoft itself on a podcast or social media, you're done. And that's an absolute fact. I know this for a fact. Leonard Herrera, generous friend of the program who's been a channel member for 19 months, says lots of love and thank you for your hard work, support, and I like you all, but we love you too, brother, and thank you for the kind words and the generosity. Highlander 001 drops an additional $10 Super Chat and says, I worked for Microsoft for a year. I helped test the adaptive controller for the mobility impaired. Oh, dude, that is amazing. He says, and I could not talk about it. I was just a temp tester with 25 others, and I could not talk about it. Yeah, I mean that's a fact, dude. Thank you for sharing. That's a pretty amazing story. A gamer by choice drops a very generous $5 Super Chat and says, Sony said they were afraid Xbox would use their strategies against them in hearings. Do we think Sony will be investigated for possible monopoly? Well, I'm going to tell you this. I don't know if they're going to be investigated. What I can tell you is, and this is my opinion. I don't have this on fact, but I think that what I'm about to put down, folks, is pretty tangible. Jim Ryan was fired. He was not riding off into the sunset with a pina colada in his hand, sitting on a beach somewhere. He was fired. And I'm going to tell you why he was fired. Besides the poor take on completely turning PlayStation into a gas manufacturer, which was the wrong move. We all know that. What he ultimately did, instead of making the deal with Microsoft, which ultimately they got a worse deal for their shenanigans, he exposed Sony's very, very poor and bad behavior to regulators around the world. So now, if they go to make an acquisition, their own words are going to be used against them. And I think that is one of the main proponents for him being fired, because he revealed all of Sony's dirty secrets because they had to. And they thought that by doing that, they were going to get the deal blocked. Well, we know how that went for them. And we know how that went for Jim Ryan. But Fuzzy Belvedere, let's talk about this Microsoft employee who is suggesting that he loves games, he loves AAA experiences, but somehow, some way, Xbox Game Pass is going to make games go up in price as well as subscription services. And we kind of know who did that. Oh, that's right. That's PlayStation that did that twice. Let's talk about it.
Well, I thought it was hilarious in the sense that, yeah, I get it. You could work at McDonald's and not like the Chicken McNuggets. You could work for Apple and not use Safari as their browser. You could, bear in mind, you could work at Microsoft as a Windows programmer and not use Windows OS or Windows 10 or 11 or 12, which they're working in the background, on your main computer at home. I get all that. That's fine. But you won't find those same individuals making ridiculous comments in public. Like, the person that's working at McDonald's, when somebody orders Chicken McNuggets, they'll be like, oh, I don't like those. Those things are nasty. You shouldn't eat those. Like, I don't think they would be working there for long if they kept on running their mouth about ridiculousness to begin with. But that's just something you don't do. You kind of keep it to yourself, especially if, you know, the company is paying your bills kind of thing or signing your check or however you want to look at it. But you could be a gamer. You could work for Microsoft. You can not like Game Pass, but you can still buy your games. And it seems like every knucklehead under the sun forgets this about Game Pass. Like, they always talk about, well, it's going to cause pricing to go up on the services and the price of games, which, by the way, Sony actually wanted to do $80, and Take-Two, the executive from Take-Two, and even EA had to talk them off the ledge because they wanted to raise prices, but not that much because they knew that would kill the market. But hey, Sony is Sony, and you know, they did this during the PS3 where they told you, hey, you should feel like you have to earn this PS3, so you should get a second job to get it kind of thing. And their hubris is you know, kind of shot them in the foot in the past. But to have somebody say that they're a gamer and they enjoy games, yet Game Pass is filled with games, kind of makes you wonder, is their head screwed on right, or whatever the case may be. But it just boggles my mind how every last one of them forget that you can, one, still purchase the games, or you can pay the monthly subscription fee, which, if you look at Microsoft is full of subscription fees because they've done that with Windows. They've done that with Microsoft Office. And they've had it work for, what, the past 6 or 7 years successfully without much problem. So it's like, you always find people that have an issue with Game Pass, but don't have an issue with Spotify or don't have an issue with Netflix. But, you know, oh, I'm a gamer. I got to buy my games. Well, you can still do that. And I call BS on if he's a Microsoft employee, unless, you know, he's the stock guy at one of the few stores that they still have left out there. I could see, okay, maybe he's the stock guy. He's somewhere in back or whatever. And that's as far as he gets exposure to gaming or whatever the case may be within Microsoft in general. But it just makes no sense that any way you look at it, how you can be a gamer and think that Game Pass is somehow the reason why games are going to go up in price. Because if we're all being, you know, completely honest here, look at the overall pricing of what we've had prior to this gen with games being 60 and then Sony raises them to 70. Of course, you know, Activision was another one that did it. Take-Two being another, even EA being another, where it's like, oh yeah, we're going to hit you with this, you know, next gen tax. And yes, eventually, you know, Xbox caved in as well. You can't leave money on the table. So if everybody else is doing it and you're the, you know, last one to the dance with, as far as raising pricing, you're leaving that $10, you know, each time. Plus you already have the complete, you know, counter opponent to it with Game Pass, where if the $10 increase really hurts the pricing of or your sales as far as games, you still have an easier to, you know, accept model that will allow the people to still have access to plenty of games. And then if they should choose to buy the games, they can get them at a discount because of, you know, what Game Pass provides for those that, for the games and whatnot that are in that service. So it's not a knock to Mooch. Like, I get it. This is all geared to be entertainment. And sometimes, you know, I'm pretty sure he'll have people, they'll be like, oh yeah, I want to be on. Yeah, I work for Microsoft. And it's like, I have my doubts. But like I said, he could be a stock person somewhere at one of the stores. He could be one of the call center people as far as if, you know, you have login issues or something like that. But to be the claim that you're a gamer and then not see that Game Pass is about games, like, I don't get the equivalent of how being a gamer means you have to buy the games outright. And that's the only way to do it. Like, I can be a car enthusiast and still lease a car. I mean, I could be a car enthusiast and work for Toyota, not knocking Toyota, great brand, but they're not they're not the performance brand like, let's say, Chevrolet, where you got the Vet and the Camaro.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Mustang, or like Ford with the Mustang and things like that. So you can be an enthusiast for something and still, you know, see the value in the other options. Like, if you're working for Toyota, a Camry is a hell of a value car because it's going to have a good trade-in value, you know, 5 years down the road.
Plus, it's going to last.
Yeah, it's going to last. It's going to be low cost on maintenance and upkeep. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different positives you can see in that. And I just don't get how, you know, gamers have this affliction against Game Pass in the way that it's going to destroy gaming all of a sudden. Like, where were these same people? Were they into music at all? Were they into movies at all when, you know, Netflix came about or Spotify came about? And if they were, what was their complaints, or did they have complaints? Or did they do like a lot of us, you know, that might be up there up a little bit older, where it was like, oh, just, you know, download it from Napster kind of thing. But
LimeWire.
Exactly.
Oh, my God, that's really taking it back.
But it's just silly to me when people make these, you know, half-hearted, you know, their opinion, not really touting it as fact, but it's like as if it's the only answer type of thing, just boggles my mind. Like, just enjoy games. If you don't like Game Pass, don't subscribe. It's rather easy. You could still buy the games at Microsoft.
You can still traditionally buy your games. I think
Fuzzy just became a porcupine. Instead of just Fuzzy.
Well, listen, there's nothing wrong with being a porcupine. Sometimes you got to put up the Earth Defense Force. But
yeah.
No, I mean, great points from everybody so far. Let me get Crazy Lou Gaming in here, because again, he did say it's his opinion, but I think his opinion is skewed. I think that if he is so-called a gamer that enjoys games, subscribing. I mean, think about this for a second. You go and you buy Spider-Man 2, which is a great game. Not the perfect game, but a great game. $76.43. But I bought the $90 edition because, well, that's what I do with all of Sony's games. I always buy the bigger edition. Okay, so I'm in the bag, right? No problem. For that $90, you could logistically have over 6 months worth of Xbox Game Pass, right? And in that 6 months, you could have a block of games like Lies of P, Forza Motorsport, Starfield. Just, I mean, we know what have come out. The Dead Space remake is another one that just was added for Halloween. Texas Chainsaw Massacre a month ago. I mean, the deck is stacked. So if you're a gamer that loves games, I would imagine that you're going to probably, in a financial forecast that we're in right now for 2023, well, you're going to probably go where your money is best spent so you can get the most for your money. And I don't think there is a service, I don't care whether it's movies, gaming, I don't care, music, that gives you as much as you get with Xbox Game Pass when you talk about its inherent value. Let's get your hot take on the supposed Microsoft employee that does not like it.
First of all, he's a jackass. I'm sorry. I had to say it.
Okay, that's fine. I love it.
He's a jackass. I'm sorry. It's the truth. I mean, seriously, who the hell cares? I mean, who the hell cares? Oh, I'm a Microsoft employee. Yeah. Oh, you the man. You the man. I'm telling you all. You the man. That's what we got to call you, the man. Yeah. Who cares? Who cares? And seriously, I don't understand, why are they so pissed off about the service that Xbox has? I mean, seriously, go ask Sony to put that same kind of a service to you guys, because hey, panel, chat, I bet you 5 cents, because that's how much I got to pay. Because, man, there's like 620 people. And, man, if I would have said 10 bucks, I would have gone flat broke. I bet you 5 cents, everybody, that as soon as they have the same type of service, they're like, oh, this service is perfect. PlayStation is awesome. And, hey, man, we get our games like this, and they're quality games and all this stuff. I mean, they'll be super happy and talking about it all over Twitter and everywhere, because that's what they do. Right now, for them, it sucks because it's in the competition. But as soon as they get it, it's perfect. Yes, it's wonderful. I don't get why people get frustrated with that. I mean, it's the best option out there. Everybody knows it. Everybody loves it. I mean, I'm in love with my Game Pass. Panel's in love with the Game Pass. Chat, whoever's using the Xbox is in love with their Game Pass. Because why? We get options. What options do we get? Hey, we don't have to purchase the game day one, right? We can play through it. If we like, we want to purchase it, we can purchase it. You know, there's that option. And that's $15 a month. But over there on Sony, you got to pay, how much is it? $140? $160?
It's $159.99 for the year service. Yeah.
That's crazy. And tell me, because I'm still asking the damn question. Where is what they promised us? Because they said, oh, it's for bettering the service. But what are you going to give us, damn it? It's been like what? When did Starfield come out? In September, beginning of September? It's when they announced it. We're still waiting for the announcement for them to tell us what are you gonna give us to pay $160 damn. They still have not said nothing. So seriously, that guy going out there saying, well, I'm a Microsoft employee and yada yada yada. You know, I prefer buying games. Oh my god. I bet you he buys discount games like we all do, because hey, we all do that. We get our games sometimes in the discount. What's wrong with that? Right? What's so wrong with that? And it's better, because I'll be honest with you, to pay a $70 game day one nowadays, it's a bitch. Why is it a bitch? Because sometimes it's not fully upgraded. Sometimes it's not fully updated. And we got to wait
for five patch.
Yeah, we got to wait to like, I don't know how many patches to fix it. So down the road, you know, it's better to purchase it, you know, when everything is down and easy and everything is better, right? If you love the game, go ahead and purchase it. I won't hold it against you. I mean, I have Alan Wake 2, and I'm going to sit down and enjoy it. If you have some issues, well, I'm going to have to deal with it. But like I said, it's better to purchase down the road, right? And yes, people are now buying with discounts, because I remember Sony's last financial report. Not this one. I don't remember. It was like probably a couple months ago. They said they were having issues selling $70 games. And supposedly 70 is quality, but damn. Where's quality at? Look at Spider-Man. I'm sorry. I mean,
quality.
Yes, famous word. I love it. Quality. Oh, man. I love that word so much. Especially with that Spider-Man when it comes out, man. And look at that quality of a game. My God. It came out with a couple of bugs. But wait, guys, there was a lot of people, you know, looking for bugs. You know, you got to admit to that. But yes, I mean,
in an open world game, of course.
I'll just say one thing, though. It's, to be honest, it was a Halloween update they released, right? Where you get the headless Miles Morales or the bodiless Miles Morales. So yes, it was a Halloween update, just in case, you know. That's what happened.
You're gonna be a sugar cube costume, right?
Oh yes, yeah, yes. Sugar cube, yeah. You know, wear a sugar cube costume. Yeah, it was a Halloween update, guys. So yeah, down the road, purchase it and enjoy it. And man, seriously, that guy who just came out there and said it again, I'll call him a jackass.
That's I mean, listen, it's I don't know what he was trying to do. Exactly. I've never heard of the guy before. It's fine. Listen, you got your 5 minutes of fame. Good on you. Look, I want to catch up on Super Chats. I want to shout out Tom from Toonami, good friend of the program. More ugly news for PlayStation. According to Tom, this is breaking, and this is comes the way of Paul Tassi. There are significant layoffs hitting Bungie as we speak. Ooh. So more layoffs for PlayStation. And that's
see, listen, they're going to the extreme, people. I'm telling you, you need to leave Bungie alone. Let them do their thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and not ask them to interject into what the factions 2 thing. My God, like just leave it alone. People were looking forward to that. Why did you do that? And that's because they probably asked Bungie to say, hey, look at all these, you know, gas type service games or multiplayer games, because they don't come out with those anytime soon. But, you know, you look at that and you say, okay, well, you guys got to go and do something about this. And then they go and do the extreme, and then they're like, oh, okay, well, now Jim's not there anymore. I mean, he's there, but not really.
He's there, but he's not there. Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, you gotta find your balance. And Xbox has always had the balance. Dude, where is SOCOM? Yeah. Where is it? Like, come on, PlayStation. Like, you guys ignore the IPs that you've really, like, made into something. Like, SOCOM was so good back then that I feel like it would be a juggernaut right now. You know what I'm saying?
Crispy, like, it absolutely would. There's no doubt about it. But I was listening to Rand and Jez on the Xbox 2 from this past Friday. And, you know, Jez brought up a great point. He said that PlayStation does not have patience to do what, like, Rare did and just, you know, put out a game. It was bare bones. That's what Jez says. He wasn't wrong about it. But it's did you guys know this? It's one of the best-selling games of 2023. Sea of Thieves, which you can get in a service. But it's one of the best-selling games of the year. I don't know. Am I crazy? No, that actually happened. So they don't have the patience. And Crispy's right. What they should have done is put factions out there and just kept addressing it. But this is why there's infighting. Because apparently what Bungie did to Naughty Dog did not sit well with some of the other studios at a first party. They didn't like the fact that Bungie had this power to come in, who's one of the last ones to be acquired, to make a call as difficult as it was to ice what they were working on for over 3 years. And it was so bothersome that one of the founders of Naughty Dog left the company. He walked off. That was it. So if you think that, and let me just see, Highlander 001, I'm going to get the other super chats in a second. He drops an additional $5 super chat and says, funny thing about the Crossfire episode from Friday, they said Microsoft was in trouble, but PlayStation is in great shape. I like Mooch a lot, but I hope he didn't say that, because if that in fact is the case, I don't understand. Because did you see how much money Microsoft made in the first quarter of 24? I'm just saying that. Yes, I say Microsoft because it's a Xbox, Microsoft, same thing, and they're forecasting a 40% increase. You know where that's coming from? Oh, that's right, Call of Duty, which they now own. Listen, we're gonna have a lot to cover for the rest of the year. I see a lot of new names here. Look, folks, I don't ask for much. But I do ask that if you are new, you are finding the channel for the first time, please consider subscribing. We are on the hunt for 14K. We're almost there. We're almost at the 13.6 mark. Would be great. It means that we're 400 away from hitting it. And it would be pretty cool to get that done before the end of the year. So please, if you are checking out the channel for the first time, please consider subscribing. Of course, hit the like button while you're here. And if you're feeling extra generous, share this out on the socials, let people know that I do this 5 days a week. Bold Alpha Wolfpack drops a very generous $10 super chat and says, I asked Pong over at Living Split Screen, and I'm curious to know the panel's take. Do you think studios at Sony, known for single player experiences, would damage their brand if they struggle to do a gas game for Sony? It really depends, because, like, for instance, Horizon Zero Dawn, one of my favorite games on the new, one of my favorite new IPs from Sony. Didn't care so much for 2 because it was very buggy and it ruined my experience. And I kind of did not like the way they were taking the direction they went with Aloy, which I'm a fan of that character. They have a multiplayer version of Horizon Forbidden West coming out. I don't know how that's going to translate. I think it's going to fail, because what do you do? I mean, how do you make this a multiplayer? I have no idea. So it's potentially possible for the if someone like a Naughty Dog puts out a gas game and it fails, it's Naughty Dog. They have very rarely put out a bad game. Most of Sony's studios very rarely put out a bad game, right? Like, you know, you can say, you can have your ticks with Spider-Man being a cube and people falling through the thing. For the most part, Spider-Man 2 is a pretty solid game. Yes, it's got bugs, egregious bugs, and it probably could have used 6 more months worth of development, but it's atypical, you know, like if you're looking at the game more than just the bugs, if you're looking at it from the writing aspect of it, the story that's being told, how they're telling a different Venom story, I find it fascinating. I'm quite enjoying myself. For me, it's still an 8.5. That's just what I'm going to give it because the bugs are egregious, but it's an 8.5 for me. I don't know. I think that they're right now. SIE is in turmoil, right? You got to remember when Jim Ryan in his 18 months of tenure, he said in an interview that PlayStation gamers were not enough, right? At that moment, I would imagine that there was starting to be a shift to gas games. And in fact, if that was true, well, they're here. They've canceled several gas games. Supposedly, there's a rumor that they've gone totally away from that. That's going to take years to turn the ship back to it being a single-player, story-driven narrative studios. Like I said, 2023 is for a game publishing for Sony, F for fail. Next year is probably going to be F for fail too, because we don't know what they're working on, because they would have told us. Sony loves flaunting what they have. They didn't do that because they don't have anything. And if 23, if 24 is like 23, Sony's is in big trouble. I will tell you that right now, considering how many AAA bombs are coming from Xbox. Oh, and PS, by the way, one of them is Call of Duty. Just crazy. Fantas Archer drops a very generous $5 super chat and says, I think the Sony content creators are potentially in trouble. If any of them flip to Xbox now, their reputations will take a hit. Consequences for fraud, indeed. You're going to see the media bend the knee soon enough. Like the Dan Stapleton prick that works for IGN, who I call a coward, that told us that he was going to doom Starfield months before he did. You can expect him to still stand on his square. He'll give the Elder Scrolls 6 a 7. I'm telling you right now, expect him to give that a 7 because he said he was going to do it. But some of the other media who's taken a hardline stance, you're going to see they're going to start to back off because people are not going to continue to click on their anti-Xbox narratives, and they're going to have to shift. Some won't because of their pride. IGN eventually, as you know, they're a tremendous conglomerate. They're eventually going to have to bend the knee in the most, and I will call them out for it. The minute they start with the positive, I'm gonna call them out for it for sure.
Hell yeah, dude.
I won't let it go. I'm gonna tell you that right now. But we are at the halfway mark, or well, actually a little past the halfway mark. Usually it's like a 90-minute show. We got to get into this, folks. Now, I know that that on the title is 20 years of Call of Duty. Happy birthday, Call of Duty. They happen to just turn 20 over the weekend, and their Xbox first party, which is dope. I love it. But I want to talk about, and I sent this to the DM guys. You guys are all laughing at this. I know Fuzzy was laughing at it. So, Fuzzy, I'll go to you first on this. There were several stories over the weekend where there are now gaming journalists calling for PlayStation to get their own Phil Spencer. In fact, one of the major publications was Dual Shockers, which is, they're pretty PlayStation apparent, right? Their lead title is PlayStation could really use a gamer CEO like Phil Spencer. And it goes on to say this, folks, with Jim Ryan on the way out, Sony needs a successor who's as capable of talking to gamers as well as their shareholders like Phil Spencer. Pretty funny when you consider Fuzzy Belvedere, how many of these journalistic publications were like, fire Phil Spencer, he doesn't know what he's doing. The hashtag fire Phil. It was so relevant, folks. And you think, and this is how you know the right dude is running Microsoft Gaming. On his appearance for Kind of Funny after the Redfall shenanigans. Now you got to remember that appearance. Phil could have easily said, "Listen, guys, we're in the midst of a clusterfuck. Pardon my French. I can't be there. All right, this Redfall situation. It's all hands on deck. I got to deal with everybody." And what did he do? Phil still did it. And mind you, Paris Lilly, great friend of the community, went out there and said, no. We thought he was going to cancel. And he was like, no, I made a commitment. I'm jumping on here. And on that interview, folks, Phil said he saw the hashtag fire Phil Spencer. You don't think he's watching or listening? You are sadly mistaken. Because I know he listens to this show every now and again as well. I was told as much, which is pretty ridiculous when you consider the head of Microsoft Gaming actually listens to a show this small. Ridiculous. Fuzzy, mm-hmm. How the tides have changed, right? This dude, Phil Spencer, saves Xbox. He goes and he makes this magnificent pitch to Satya Nadella. And he turns the ship around post-2018 E3. They got five studios they acquired. They create the initiative, and he has not stopped since. And before E3 2018, they had five studios. They mm-hmm. now have well over 40, 10, mm-hmm. closer to 44 when you consider the support studios. And that is that's 5 years, dude. That's five years. So now the media, at least some of them, think that, well, PlayStation actually needs a gamer CEO. Let's talk about it.
Well, it's funny. Like you said, PlayStation cats have been calling for his head for forever. Oh, he doesn't know what he's doing. Oh, you know, Xbox needs to compete. They should be like PlayStation. They need to do this. And Phil was doing his own thing and getting the brand back on track in his own way. In the matter of a short period of time, like a lot of stuff, some of it was like long tail stuff as far as getting all of these studios where they're pushing out content on a regular basis. But he had a roadmap way back then, you know, focus on the hardware, focus on the services, focus on the first party. And all of it's been coming together over these years. All the while, everybody's been poo-pooing the ideas of Game Pass, poo-pooing the ideas of, you know, him acquiring studios. This consolidation is nonsense. And now that everything is, like, it's not finished yet, but now that everything is clearly visible to anybody with a pair of eyes and into gaming at all, can see what is in front of them now. Now they want a copy of him. They had kind of a copy of him with Sean Layden, but he got pushed out the door, and they championed this knucklehead, Dance Moves Ryan, who's like, who plays old games and whatnot. And now he's out the door. And for a while they were in spaces talking about, please don't leave. And now they want a Phil Spencer when like they can't even make up their own mind. Like, honestly, I almost feel like the PlayStation Nation is just, They grab on to anything and anything that will, I guess, make it so they feel like they're on top, even when they can clearly see the buildings burning. Like we were just talking about, like the whole Bungie thing that Tom in chat brought up, as far as the, you know, layoffs at Bungie. You know, I'm hoping at some point. Oh, I'm not hoping. I'm pretty sure the head people over at Bungie are smart enough to have an exit clause, just like they did with Activision and just like they did with Microsoft, because I don't foresee them being even part of Sony for another in the next 2 years or so. But that's a whole nother thing. But like, for the most part, everything that Phil stood for, it seems like the PlayStation Nation goes against. Like they can't stand games as a service. We've been having games as a service for like forever. Now we're getting a lot more single player games. We've had a mixture before, but now there's a clear amount of games as a service. There's a clear amount of single player games. There's a clear amount of RTSs and RPGs. And you know, just it's just funny to me. Like they hated when he focused on like the whole, you know, the most powerful console. Oh, that doesn't matter. Cause you know, at that time, they were touting about the 1080p versus 900p, but then when we get the more powerful console, oh, it doesn't matter anymore. It's like, okay. And then he had briefly mentioned about VR, and then, well, they have VR. We don't. So they keep on touting VR, but I hardly see anybody talking about the games that they're playing or posting any screenshots, although I know it's kind of hard to do a screenshot of a VR game, but still, like, it's almost like you don't hear people talking about the VR other than that it's collecting dust and, you know, it doesn't feel like it's being supported, even though there's games coming out. They're not first party, but there are some games out there, you know, the same games you can get on like a Quest 2 or Quest 3. But yeah, it would benefit PlayStation if they had somebody that was a gamer to kind of right the ship to a certain extent. And not somebody that, you know, Jim Ryan was famous for not knowing how to hold a controller and then having a photo op with the PS5 upside down, which who knew that that would be a problem? But I don't know. I think at this point, the best that PlayStation can hope for is that, and I joke about this kind of, but I'm kind of serious in some regard, although he's definitely not a good candidate, but the best that they could hope for is after January that Bobby Kotick wants to take over PlayStation, because that's the only person that could probably fix the ship. But he comes with his own unique baggage, and
I don't know, man. If I'm Sony, I don't touch
that. That's a porcupine take.
Yeah,
but it's just funny to me that they you know crapped on Phil all these years. And now they want a Phil clone over there. It's like, ridiculous. Make up your minds. It's like, it's either, you know, shit or get off the pot. Like, that's the saying. And it's like, make up your minds. It's like, Game Pass is bad. Oh, but we want a Phil-like person over here, which then maybe you'll get day-and-date games in your service. Or maybe you'll finally have day-and-date games on PC. And I mean, you do realize that's part of Phil's plan and what he did over here. So you're saying you now want that? But then you have spaces about how that's bad for the industry. I don't know.
Fuzzy's fired up today, is what I'm saying. Hell yeah!
No, he's
porcupine, baby.
Yeah, he's putting down some really finite points, and it's the truth.
Great job,
like
Fuzzy.
I said, Phil Spencer's ideology is allowing for anyone to play games anywhere you as a consumer want. Right? That is called options. You don't have many options at Sony. Unfortunately, they are like a dinosaur. They're the old guard. They want you to continue this tradition of buy a box, buy a game for box, and keep buying a game for the box at the price that we dictate. Oh, and PS, by the way, one thing I forgot to mention is that when they brought out the Slim, the digital Slim was actually raised $50. And on top of that, you got a paper clip to hold that thing up. So yeah, not good. Not good. And they charge you $30 for the stand, where most people have their thing standing erect, pause. And there you go. Crispy Bomb, let's bring you in on the conversation. According to several game journalists, all of a sudden now, Phil Spencer, who just finished closing ABK, right? Microsoft or Xbox Game Studio and else has 44 studios with the support. They're nowhere close to being done because, well, Satya Nadella said, we're doubling down, which means that I don't know how bigger they can get, but apparently they're going to get bigger. All of a sudden, Crispy, well, PlayStation, who lost their leader, whatever you want to call him, Dance Moves, Lion Ryan, Jimmy Two-Tone, whatever you want to call him, he's no longer running the ship. As a matter of fact, no one at PlayStation is running the ship because it's being run by PlayStation, by Sony proper. All of a sudden now, people are looking over at Phil and saying, man, that dude really did know what he was doing. Maybe we shouldn't have dumped on him. Oh, PlayStation's got to get a Phil Spencer. Let's talk about it.
I mean, let's be honest here. We can all say that Phil saved Xbox.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And people can say, y'all, you're just an Xbox fanboy. No, I'm a Gears fanboy. I will always be a Gears fanboy. When I chainsaw somebody in half, and I want people to realize that Gears was doing cutscenes a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And they continue to do it this day. I mean, if you're going to tell me that executing somebody with whatever you pick on Gears 5 is not a cutscene, you're not seeing gaming. You're not understanding. It's just I happen to choose that particular cutscene to make that game better for me. This is where I saw it. Like, they're starting to hire a lot of different people at the Coalition.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, well, Phil said we should have brought in the A-team. The A-team's going to be the Coalition and id. That's it. That's going to be there's going to be 1,000 people next year at the Coalition. There's probably going to be half that much at id, but they're technically just got bought. I mean, if you really look at it, you know, you look
what,
at
what,
it.
What are your thoughts on though the fact that people are now calling for a clone of Phil Spencer to arrive at PlayStation?
Well, I'm getting at that. What I'm saying is that Phil is one of those people that grew up within Microsoft.
Yeah.
Did he not?
Intern. Yes.
He was
an intern for Crispy.
And the one thing people forget is that Microsoft Studios, that's what they used to call it, developed a lot of games that people don't even know they actually developed. And that was in the PC space.
Yep.
When PC was kind of where we're at now in some of the gaming aspects. And Phil said, you know, they have the right idea. And he continued to be there. And he stuck with his laurels or mentality that said, you know, gaming has an aspect to it. It's really what it comes down to, whatever you enjoy. We enjoy console gaming. And Phil said, but I grew up in an aspect where I loved PC gaming at a certain point.
Yeah, he's a big PC head.
And all of a sudden, like, these two things are starting to meld together in a way. I'm not saying we're at the same realm. I'm not saying, you know, the Xbox is a 4080 or anything like that. But let's be honest here. You have to understand that he has seen it all. That's where they go and say, I want to fill. Jim, he looks at the numbers.
Yeah, he's a businessman.
They ain't making money.
Right.
I'm not down with it. Okay, because at the end of the day, what did I say before? You gotta make money for the company you work for. I've been through it. Even as a retail employee, I am still a manager of a department that makes $2.5 million a year.
Yikes.
Okay? You got to understand that, yes, I'm a little part of that entire store. But I'm the center of the plate. I understand that if we don't do well, nobody else in that store is going to do well. Because still to this day, you need protein to put on the plate. And it might be vegetarian. I'm cool with it. I don't care. If that's your bag, I'm fine with it. That's what Phil is trying to say to the gaming community. And this is why Dual Shockers is like, hey, we probably do need a Phil. And the funny part is Microsoft has decided, hey, we're going to double down on it. You hear it from Satya. Okay? He is the CEO. He is the head honcho, people. That's what you hear from it. So I'm going to be honest. Like, in 10 years, if Phil doesn't retire, he's going to be the CEO for another five. And he's going to walk away. And that's where you go and say, like, we look at them taking people that have stuck with the vision of Phil and they are upping them to the next echelon of what they want from the content and the thought process to say, okay, we are at that point where we can make things happen that we didn't think we could. And that comes down to Satya. That comes down to Phil. Phil in Satya's ear all the darn time. Phil is a gamer. And that's what they want. You know what? Sean Layden was a gamer.
Yeah.
He got it. He would have, this company, we wouldn't even be talking about PlayStation would be killing it even more right now. I'm not even kidding. Because he put his hands on the controller and he experienced
the correct way, mind you.
He experienced the things that PlayStation was innovative. They were incredible. But just throwing peripherals and this and that out there is not the way to go. What happened to the software? What happened to the innovative thought process that we used to see from them? And we see this now from Xbox. I mean, people look at South of Midnight and they have no gripes against it. They look at games that, I mean, as much as it didn't look well, you know, Avowed, I mean, really? You think in the next year if they come out with it? You think Obsidian's playing? Trust me, they're not. In Exile, they come out with little, like, I mean, funniest tweets I've ever seen. Some of the greatest stuff I've ever seen. And they have this thought process like, hey, you know, like, people might like this and people will not. But I don't see a lot of trash. I don't see a lot of hate for it. It's almost like, well, let's be innovative. Let's do something that nobody else will do. And I think that's what Phil has. And I think that's why you're going to see more and more of these articles where people are just going to be like, well, what happened to Sony? Well, why do you care? If you're a gamer, go buy the console. You still got a Series S for less than $300 sitting out there right now.
Yep.
What are we talking about here? You want to go play on PC? Guess what? Xbox supports that. That you wait for mobile. You watch. I think we're going to be right. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yep.
You know, it's one thing to look at all the past, but not look at the future at all. And I feel like there's a lot of content creators and everything else that just want everything to be the way it was. But that doesn't mean that it's going to be the best thing for the consumer itself. And that's a question you have to ask yourself. And I think some of these media outlets are starting to realize that Phil, yeah, he had to go through the woods, the mud, whatever you want to call it, but he has a thought process that can't be altered. He wants people to play games.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, he works for Microsoft, and that's all he cares about is, I've worked for Microsoft for this period of time. They've never done me wrong. They have supported me. They have innovated me myself. And he looks at it and says, but I want to give back. Because at the end of the day, the dude's a gamer and he plays with people I know. So I'm just saying, and you look at Sarah Bond, like she talks to people in gaming.
Yep.
Like that's where we go and say, like, we have people that actually talk to people that are podcasters or just somebody that's there. And you don't have that. They need to embrace the fact that, yes, we have social media. We have all of these things. But don't hate on the people that might not like the product you put out. What did he say about Redfall? I wish I brought in the A-team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Well, that's what he said. Yes, there's a bunch of other contexts before and after. But when he was asked that specific question, that's what happened. Because he's a gamer and he knows how good the talent that they have around them. And then you add ABK, everybody is going to realize, and I'm not talking just about Microsoft. I'm talking about Phil Spencer himself. He is a gosh darn gamer.
Yep.
And he gets it.
Yeah, he absolutely does. Listen, the point of speaking to gamers is tremendous, Crispy. And let me tell you, Dave, let's bring you in on the whole Phil Spencer to go to PlayStation should be on the lookout for. First of all, Phil Spencer is one of a kind, right? And Crispy brought up Sarah Bond also. These are C-level executives that interact with their community, that play games with their community, that has their decisions are always community forward facing, right? We know Jim Ryan, like Crispy said, is a businessman. He, if it doesn't make money, it doesn't make dollars, doesn't make sense, right? That's how it was. Now I don't know so much about how that really equates to what's going on with PlayStation, because PlayStation VR failure, that new PlayStation portable thingamajig, that's going to fail. Their service, you're going to see a significant drop off since the rise of to $160. But Phil Spencer, when you see him, and I can say this because I got a chance last year to meet him in person, he is who we thought he was. What you see, that's who he is in real life. He doesn't wear a suit. You know, he's on camera, he's this, and behind the scenes, he's an a-hole. What you see is what you get. I know that because I got a chance to talk with him, which is pretty freaking awesome. What's interesting, Dave, and I really want to bring this, I want to drive this point home, is, and I bring this up because Chrissy made a great point. Didn't specifically Phil and Aaron and Sarah get railroaded by the press and by the gaming community for taking pictures during E3? Like, oh, look at these executives. They shouldn't be doing that. And all of a sudden now the gaming media is like, wow, look at what Phil Spencer just did. We need one of those guys. At DualShockers, of all places, who has been anti-Xbox. I mean, their name is DualShockers, for crying out loud. And they're out there along with several other publication saying that PlayStation now needs its own Phil Spencer. I find that to be laughable at best. What's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, exactly what you called out, that they're kind of going after some of the execs for being fan friendly, but that's what you have to do. That's kind of the standard now that you need to do. You need to be personable, show empathy, and connect with the people you're trying to sell your product to. a cold, hard, standoffish person isn't likable. Jim Ryan isn't likable. I mean, to be honest, Reggie Fils-Aimé, who I've met twice, super, super nice guy. Mm-hmm. I met him at conventions. It wasn't like a one-on-one thing, but like, you know, but he's super nice, personable. Hey, how you doing? Shook hands, posed for pictures. You know, he's there, you know, with the people, and he plays games, knows games, and mm-hmm. can talk to you about, you know, the latest thing coming out, because they've sent him, you know, a test kit, and he's played the, you know, he's tested all the games and stuff, just because he's the CEO and they wanted to get his hands on it, you know, and stuff. So, you know, if you read his book, it's really, really good. I recommend it to anybody. But he's you know, that's what you need in that position. And for people to ask, you know, Sony needs to get a Phil Spencer, they're right. They really do. They really need somebody who, I mean, they don't have to be like the biggest, you know, biggest gamer in the world, but to at least to grasp and understand. Sarah Bond even said, you know, she was at first, she was more of a, you know, play it on her phone kind of, you know, kind of thing. But now that, you know, now she works for the company and she's got the systems and been able to play and spend more time with it, you know, now she really gets it and she really is getting in, you know, to it even more. And I don't think it's a requirement, but I think it's pretty smart that if you're in a business, you want to kind of be hands on the business. And I think Fuzzy can tell you too, that, like, you know, he loves playing the racing games and everything, and he's really good at it. And guess what? He works in the automotive industry. You know what I'm saying? So he gets it. And to make his gaming, that's why I enjoy listening to him talk about explaining the game and how the things work on it, is because he knows. Because he's a real, you know, person that drives cars fast on occasion. Not say legally, but, you know, I'm just kidding. But it's extremely important to have that aspect. Like I said, you don't have to be the biggest gamer in the world. You don't have to be the best at it. You don't have to be setting records or whatever, but just to play the merchandise makes it so much better. It's, you know, Jim Ryan, for his quote unquote salesmanship that he has, he needed at least a balance of being able to play a few games, not just sit and watch and have somebody explain it to him. Okay, great, cool. And then leave the room. That's what it felt like when you talk to him, you know, how is this going to make us money? It was his, you know, first thing in the room, instead of, you know, is it enjoyable? They're going to get a lot out of it. You know, what kind of bosses are we going to find? You know, so it, to me, it's, I definitely agree that the Sony needs to get somebody in that at least has an understanding of games, as well as a smart business sense. The biggest problem I think Jim had is it's not that he went to gas games, but that he went all in on gas games and he didn't strike a balance. There was no balance, and now it's really got him out of sync. Love him or hate him, I just think that, and I want them to be there, because if we have them for competition, that's what is driving Microsoft now to work as hard as they are for us, the consumer, is because they're in third place. If they weren't in third place, they may not be trying so hard. And Satya may not have gone to Phil and said, let's do things, you know, let's go all in to get us where we need to go. Because they're on their back heels and getting ready to toss that part of their company away. So it's important to be a balance in the industry. And Phil even recognizes it. You know, they want Nintendo, they want Sony to be in the business because it helps drive them to where they need to be.
I mean, look, at the end of the day, competition is good. We as consumers, I think it's been said a bazillion times, we win as consumers, right? When there's competition and there's fair competition, we win. And a perfect example of us winning is if you are a part of the Xbox platform, you can subscribe for $16.99 a month and get a plethora of games, so much so that it allows you to go buy games other places. You get to go buy games on your Switch, like myself.
Wait, this is about, of course, competition?
There you go.
Let us have competition.
Let us have competition, indeed. Listen, Crazy Loop Gaming. Let's bring you in on the conversation. Obviously, you've heard what Crispy had to say. He had great finite points. Fuzzy as well. Web Dave also closed it out in a good form and fashion. But I'm interested to get your take on this because, again, I recall reading many articles of the hashtag fire Phil Spencer because they were lacking in some of the first party direction that they were going. Now it seems as if, well, not only did Sony just get rid of one of their major contributors who was a producer for over 150 plus games at PlayStation for over 30 years in Connie, which we learned from how's his name? Who broke the story?
David Jaffe?
David Jaffe. Yeah, David Jaffe broke that story, and a lot of people actually were on social media bashing him, saying he's a liar. Turns out to be, well, it's actual fact. Connie's gone. Jim Ryan's gone. PlayStation is in turmoil. We just learned today more layoffs coming the way of PlayStation through Bungie, which is gross. Shout out to Clobriel, who actually put a pretty awesome post out there where I actually just favored it. Let me just find it. So I want to read it verbatim because it's actually a pretty good post from Clobriel. He goes, I'm sorry for anyone affected by today's layoffs at Bungie. If you're looking for new opportunities, here are some quick resources for Xbox Studios close nearby, all having positions available. And he posted that 343 Industries is hiring, Turn 10 Studios is hiring, Undead Labs is hiring, as well as Xbox Game XGS Publishing is also hiring. So hopefully anybody affected over at Bungie, this industry is pretty good. Most or all of them will find work. The industry, take care of themselves. But I want to reel this back in, and I want to kind of get your hot take on this. All of a sudden now, we're starting to see that PlayStation needs a Phil Spencer. And it wasn't just one publication, several. I find it to be pretty funny, considering that a lot of these publications, specifically DualShockers, has had some negative things to say about Phil Spencer in the way that he ran Xbox and continues to run Xbox. Pretty funny stuff. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts on this, my God. I mean, let's go back to 2013, 2014. I mean, we know how Xbox One was. It was a big mess and how it went through with Don Matrick. And then we saw they changed leaderships, right? Then I think it was once or twice till they got to Phil Spencer. And once Phil grabbed the wheel, right? Phil finally grabbed the wheel and said, okay, let's get this thing on the road and everything. And the plans he had, I mean, people have been judging him, even with Scalebound. I don't know if you guys remember Scalebound. Like, oh, my God, but he canceled that game. That's horrible. I mean, PlayStation would never cancel their games. And yeah, they never would. But, you know, you got a Bandit. You got what's it called, Fashions. And okay. But either way, though, I remember the whole Scalebound issue, you know. And then after that, has Fuzzy said it. Most powerful console. All right, so that didn't matter. Then another thing didn't matter. Then this did not matter. Game Pass was bad. All this stuff was bad. You know, everything was just horrible, right? Horrible, right? Everything that Phil was doing was horrible. Sean Layden, on the other hand, was doing a great job. So, yes, you know, back in the day, they did have their Phil. They did have their Phil. But frankly, you know, he's supposed to be left, right? He left the building. You know, like,
well, he was escorted out by security.
Supposedly he left. Yeah, because, you know, of course he was escorted out of it because Jim Ryan is a hassle, you know, to work with. Jim Ryan grabs it, right? And after he grabs this, he continues, right? He says, okay, let's continue pushing forward. But here's the thing, though, Jim. And here's where Phil got smart. This is where Xbox also got smart. PlayStation said, oh, we're not going to E3. Microsoft continues to go to E3. They said, oh, we're not going to Gamescom. Microsoft continues to go to Gamescom. What does that do? What does that effect do? You know what it does? It shows that Xbox is interested to talk to the people, communicate with the people, and sit down and see their thoughts, talk to them about gaming and everything. That's what they're doing. They're going out there. They're working twice, three times as hard as PlayStation should have been doing. So Microsoft grabbed a hold of that, right? And has gone forward with it. And look how great they are doing. But PlayStation, you know, they're doing a showcase once in a while, which everybody was like, oh, their showcases are great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. You know, baby steps and stuff like that. But either way, though, like I said, Microsoft has grabbed the wheel and said, let's continue forward, right? And they moved on forward. While Jim basically, I mean, you look everywhere for Jim. I mean, we don't even know how old Jim is. There's nothing. There's no history on Jim. There's no social media on Jim. There is nothing with
he's
Jim
younger
Bryan.
Than Phil Spencer.
Supposedly, but there's another side that says that he's 64 years old. There's one that says that he's 180 years old. I don't even know how old this man is. There's nothing about this man. Nothing. No information. Nothing. He doesn't talk to the people. He doesn't sit down, you know, have chats with the community. He doesn't do anything. And I'm still wondering, where the hell is the Fire Jim after Spider-Man release? Nobody said Fire Jim. Oh, that's right. He retired before that. But either way, though, why don't people talk about Fire Jim for releasing such a buggy game? Nobody talks about that. But Phil does something bad. Oh, let's fire Phil. Here's the thing, though, guys. Phil has done an awesome job. And I said it since the beginning. This guy knows where he's taking this brand. He's working really hard. And he's going to do great things with this brand. Him, Sarah Bond, Aaron Greenberg, all of them, his team, everybody is working really hard to take this to where they wanted to go to. And he's been, I know people have been saying, no, he has not delivered his promises. But hey, man, he has been delivering really good. I mean, his promises are coming out. You know, look at Starfield. Starfield has been amazing. I know Redfall had a rough start, but look at it now. I mean, Redfall. I'm hearing people talk positive about it. It's amazing. You know, you got also, oh my God, Forza Motorsport, which is done great. Look at that Hi-Fi Rush, another great game. And man, they are delivering games. So what does PlayStation have? Oh, they're hiring third parties, you know, to, hey, let's get this game on here. Oh, this is a Sony game. Well, sorry, guess what? Those are third-party games, even though it's a Sony exclusive for them, but it's a third-party game, right? But for their studios, what are they doing? Nothing. Have they lost track? Yes. Why have they lost track? Because this man, Jim, had an idea for gas games. They're going to be great. Let's get everybody to work over here. And hey, after he announced his retirement, you see everybody coming out and say, oh my God, thank God. Like, oh, we're taking a breather. This guy is leaving. Like, damn, we did not want to work on this. We wanted to make our own games. And this guy took us off here. He added to over here. It shows you what kind of a leader he is. It shows you. I mean, like I said, he doesn't talk to anybody. He doesn't sit down on Twitter and say, hey, what's up? What's going on? Nothing. He's just raising prices, making money for Sony. That's about it. Like you all said, he doesn't even know how to hold a damn controller. Why the hell do I want a person that does not even know how to hold a controller take forward a company like PlayStation, you know, to move on forward? I don't want it. I'm sorry. I just don't want it because he just does not know what gaming is all about. Yet Phil and everybody on that side do enjoy gaming. Do talk about it and are not afraid to sit down and express themselves. I mean, seriously, these guys are even on podcasts. You ask if you can get around to it and ask them to come to your podcast, they would come. They would say, okay, let's go. If everything is cool, they would say, let's go. Where is Jim? Where is everybody in the Sony community? You know, nowhere. You don't see them anywhere. All of them are just hiding in their spot, thinking, oh, we're great. We don't need to sit down and talk to anybody. Screw everybody. Just make money. That's what they're doing. And that's the truth. I'm sorry. But Xbox is doing amazing. And why would it want to Phil Spencer like that? Because, hey, he is doing an amazing job. And that's the truth.
Well, I mean, ultimately, he has the gamer's best interest always facing forward. And, again, choice and options, super important for Xbox as the leader of the brand and the front-facing voice of Xbox. And now Microsoft Gaming as a whole, he's out there trying to get players to play anywhere they want, how they want to play, and still make gaming a part of the still allow for people who whatever financial station you're in, whether you're making six figures a year or you're not, you can still be a part of the gaming conversation. I think that ultimately is one of the most human elements of the way that Phil Spencer. I mean, listen, ultimately. He works for a conglomerate. He wants to make, you know, Satya has to make money for his investors. It's a business after all. They got to make money. But that does not mean that in the process of making money, you have to be less human. And that's what you get over at PlayStation. You get really a bunch. It's funny how they call us bots when really they're more robotic and how they conduct themselves at PlayStation and the human element that I'm always talking about is very apparent. at Microsoft. I mean, listen, they're in the top 10 of Glassdoor every year. They were just voted by Time Magazine as being the one of the best places to work on the planet. You don't accidentally get those accolades by just making falsities. You get out there and you walk the walk. And then, of course, you talk the talk. But speaking of talk, let me catch up with these last Super Chats and then we'll get everyone out of here. Good friend of the program, Drawn TJ, drops a very generous $2 Super Chat and says, Sony's quality? Right. Baby Steps, Bugman 2, and Foam Stars. Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong, dude. Baby Steps, they shouldn't have showed that. That looks awful. But listen, it is what it is. Bold Alpha Wolfpack drops an additional very generous $10 Super Chat and says, why isn't Ghost of Tsushima getting updates until the sequel drops? Like, these games are amazing, but where is the hook to always loop you back in outside of a sequel at Sony for all of these exclusives? I'm not saying it because I like their style of game. That's why I have a PlayStation. But a lot of people, you know, they jest about the one and done. There are people beating Spider-Man 2 in 25 hours. Randall Thor, he 100% of the game in 25 hours. He had a good time with it. Yeah, there were some bugs he talked about, but he enjoyed it. But that's it. Once, you know, you buy it, you play through it, you put 25 hours. See, I'll double the hours because I'm a map guy and I like doing everything. And I'm quite enjoying the game. So I'll probably double it up, maybe hit 40 hours before I beat it. But unfortunately, there really isn't a go back because, as a matter of fact, a lot of people, I don't, maybe you notice you don't, there is no New Game Plus for Spider-Man 2. That is supposedly coming in late December. I mean, I don't know if it even gets here in December. Maybe they move it out to the new year, but there's no New Game Plus. Like, so what do? You just put it back and it's, you know, you just delete it off your hard drive if you're not going to play it again.
I mean, boom, let's be honest. That's just riding the coattails of a huge IP.
Yes, that is riding the coattails of a huge IP. That's absolutely correct. I don't even know what else to say. Thank you for the super chat, brother, but I don't know what to say. They don't nurture their own IP after its release. That's a big Sony problem for sure. Great friend of the community, great friend of this program, the Black Viking, drops a very generous $2 super chat and says, Paul Tassi just announced layoffs at Bungie. Yeah, it was Paul Tassi. I also read something from Jason Schreier who has confirmed what Paul was saying. And yeah, supposedly there's this big meeting at Bungie regarding the employment retention, and that's not good. But I do shout out once again to Clobriel for throwing it out there in the ether. And like I said, it's not just Microsoft that's hiring. I'm sure other publishers as well as developers will be hiring. Again, hopefully everyone that is affected by this does get picked up rather quickly.
Quick aside question. What happened to that extra billion that PlayStation paid for Bungie?
For retention, right? Maybe they pocketed it. Maybe Jim Ryan's got a bigger golden parachute. I don't know. But yeah, you're absolutely right. There wasn't an extra $1 billion with a B for retention, keeping the employees on. And didn't they just close that deal, dude? Like that was just closed. So I don't know where that billion went, but...
Well, I think it's the one catalyst to that is that the retention is if, you know, they want them to stay, they have to stay. But they had the option to let people go, that negates the clause of them having to stay if they say, we don't want you here. So because to cut back and save money.
It still sucks. So no, like I said, yeah, it still sucks all the way because like I said, some people are having trouble working, putting food on the table. Could you imagine if you lost your income? And FYI, California, ridiculously expensive to live in. I mean, just outrageously expensive. You thought New York was expensive? It's not. It's California, if you're there, that's why people have roommates, because they can't afford, especially in San Francisco is another one. Ridiculous how expensive it is to live there.
100-year mortgages.
What's that?
I think that's the place of 100-year mortgages.
100-year Jesus Christ! I didn't even know that. I didn't even know that was a thing. I honestly did not even know that was a thing. That's ridiculous. Maxie Komen drops a very generous $5 super chat and says, "You are so right, Boom. I give IGN hell now. If they start being positive toward Xbox, it'll be double hell. I will listen. The first nice story that comes out of IGN about Xbox, I'm going to let them have it because they have been browbeating and bashing on Xbox. As a matter of fact, they still continue to leave Xbox out of the conversation on a game that's coming out that happened, that's even in Game Pass. And they're like, no, that's an accident. We're sorry.
Get rid of IGN. Go to Kind of Funny. I'm telling you.
I like Kind of Funny. Good I like there. Oh, yeah.
They
I
love, are good
I love
there.
The choice. Yeah, that's Greg a great Miller, point.
Greg Miller, not nah, he's a good dude. I've watched like a lot Miller. Of stuff from him. Yeah, he's good.
I love everybody at Kind of Funny. I really do. Like I said, I know that they have like massive, like real in ties with IGN. I just think that if you're gonna do something, Microsoft should forget IGN exists and start working with the VGCs. Start working with, you take like Greg Miller. I mean, they work with Greg Miller already and Kind of Funny. That's a fact, but they should work more with them. I would not answer the phone call. I wouldn't answer the phone if it was me. If it was IGN, like, nah, we'll go to voicemail. We'll get back to them when we have some time. That's just me. We have God the Blessed One drops a very generous $5 super chat and says, Xbox should make a PC tower. In my opinion, they should fully invest in PC. I think they're doing that, dude. I just think that they're doing it in a way to allow you make the choice you want to play wherever you want to play, build your tower however you want to build it. I just think, listen, half of some of the biggest games that are seeing significant growth on Xbox are on PC. Like, it's crazy how big PC has gotten for Xbox. It's just crazy. He says, have a Series X, S, and a T, as in tower. Listen, brother, I'll buy one. Xbox Tower, I'll probably buy it. I'm not even going to lie. Gamer by Choice drops an additional, very generous, $5 super chat and says, as an Xbox fan, I push back on needing Phase 2 product. Casuals do not care, just need franchises that people recognize and buy. Who's Coke CEO? I couldn't even tell you. But it doesn't hurt, dude, to have someone like a Phil Spencer be as bombastic as he is, being as welcoming as he is, and still run a company and make the profits and put forth a product that you're proud to, you know, to support. That's just my – I don't think – I think that when you look at the way Xbox does things – it's the right way because it's a way that's endearing, right? It's not a faceless dude in a suit. That's not who it is. It is a person. It is a gamer, a guy that right now is probably playing Fortnite with people from the community or playing Halo Infinite with the community. I kind of dig that. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't like the faceless corporate stooge that you don't know about. Maybe I'm spoiled. That's not how I like business, but I see your point. Makes perfect sense. Lastly, Michael Mooney drops a very generous £5 super chat and says, with Apple doing a Halloween Mac show at Japan Friendly Time tonight, could Apple have a major deal with a Japanese publisher? I mean, it's possible, but I don't know until they launch their own console. I don't think it matters. I mean, listen, I know that they, you know, this new Apple, you can play all these big AAA games, like, you know, the new Assassin's Creed Mirage and stuff on there. I mean, I don't know what Apple's up to unless Apple's going to buy Sony. Maybe that's in the cards. And a lot of people suggesting Crispy Bomb that they're trimming the fat. But listen, folks, this has been a fantastic, absolutely fantastic way to start the week with the Xbox Lunch Break Special. We had Crispy Bomb join us, and of course, he was, as expected, raw and uncut. Crispy, let's get you on out of here. Where could people potentially find you on other shows? Because I know that you kind of scaled back thanks to, you know, you got family. Family's first. But we're happy to have you here today. And also, where could people reach out to you and strike up a conversation on social media?
Well, I mean, I'm a Double Bear Gaming exclusive.
Oh, well, there you
as
go.
As far as now.
Thank you, sir. We're happy to have you.
Found out some things about some people, and I'll leave it at that.
We'll talk behind the scenes.
Yeah, but you know, the fact is that we're at a cusp of potentially much more affordable gaming.
Yep.
You have to realize that I grew up with the Blockbuster right down the road, and I loved it. But we're in a different realm. You know, you have companies saying, hey, we might not sell physical discs anymore and stuff mm-hmm. like that. It's a fact that's happening. And, I mean, everybody touts PlayStation for being the physical disc type company. It ain't working. And they know it. Let's be logical. Let's understand that companies are going to be companies.
Yep.
I'm not asking for them to cater to me all the time. What I'm asking for is them to have the ability to adapt and not ignore the people that are the loudest. And some of them, I've seen many PlayStation or Xbox people say the same things. Competition matters. And now is the time. We've seen it with Netflix and Disney Plus. Remember when Netflix was not doing well and Disney Plus was doing better? And now all of a sudden we're on the exact opposite. Content is king. Bring us the content. And we will be happy. We will have gripes. We will not be happy at times. But that's the way it goes. At Crispy Bomb on Twitter, Crispy Bomb 28, Xbox Live. And you can find me on Breakfast of Boom, not this Friday, yep. but next Friday. And that is it.
Well, we're happy to have you, brother. Obviously, we'll miss you on Friday, but we'll see you back in your regular chair the following Friday. And thanks so much for being here, Crispy. Obviously, it was unexpected, but he was like, hey, listen, I'm not going to be there on Friday, but I can be available on Monday, and we're happy to have you. Web Dave, sell the brand, brother. Talk about last night's show with your two powerful guests. And obviously, you and Retri do an amazing job on the Gamers Council podcast each and every Sunday. And more importantly, where can people reach out to you on social media?
Thanks, Boom. Always an honor to be here on your shows and also with the amazing panel that you have as well. I love it. Gosh, last night's show was pretty awesome. We had K-Mega. And Gaming Forte, and it is a good episode. You really need to watch it. It's getting a lot of views, so I appreciate it if you mind checking it out. I put the link in the chat, and of course, it's in the description of this episode as well. And then we also have a Halloween special that we recorded on and was live on Saturday with our bonus episode for the month, and it was a Halloween special where we had Death Dealer. Dreadpool's wife and Dreadpool nice. And Silent Cypher were all on, and we talked horror games, horror movies, and it was just it was a good time. We could have gone on for a couple hours, but they had to go run a haunted house, so we had to edit it too. But it was good times, good fun. The only other thing I'll tease you with is that next Monday I have my interview. We'll go live with Jazz Corden.
Nice, and, dude. And it was a
really good in-depth awesome. Interview talking about his career and how he got there and how he got into gaming and what the future holds for Jazz. It's pretty exciting. Thanks, Boom.
Looking forward to that. Yeah, looking forward to that. That's going to be a really good interview, and I can't wait to hear the behind the scenes of Jazz Corden, see how he got into gaming, which is pretty interesting. That's what I love about your show, is they really It's a video game show for sure, but thanks. getting to learn who your favorite podcaster is behind the mic is always super cool. Fuzzy Belvedere, let's sell your brand, brother. We're trying to get your YouTube channel to 1K. And obviously, Mission 1K, folks, please, by all means, if you trust my word, if you are someone that believes what I'm putting down, please get over there and support Fuzzy Belvedere. Let's get his channel to 1K. Fuzzy, sell the brand of the best place for anything and everything in the racing genre. And more importantly, where can people find you on social media?
Just want to thank you for having me on. It was awesome being here with you guys. Always appreciate Web Dave and Crazy Louie and even Crispy Bomb. Thanks for joining us this Monday. Awesome, awesome takes. Always love doing shows with you, Boom, as well. And for everybody in the chat, always love interacting with you guys. Thanks for checking us out. Don't forget to hit the like button. Subscribe if you haven't already. For those that want to hear my rambles and rants on anything gaming related, just follow me on the app formerly known as Twitter at @Fuzzy_Belvedere. You can do a search on YouTube for Fuzzy Belvedere. I know I need to do some more content on Forza Motorsport. I'm kind of trying to position things for when they do the update next month. I think it's November 10th is when we get the big update.
Yes.
With a new track and a lot of fixes and things like that. So definitely looking forward to that. But thanks again for everybody checking us out. Greatly appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. Always appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate you being here. And last and no way, at least a crazy one, Crazy Lou Gaming. Please, by all means, sell the brand of the Xbox International Podcast, both in English and Espanol. And where can people check that out? Subscribe. Keep your channel growing as you guys continue to do the really good work in the community. And obviously, having a show that is dedicated to the Spanish-speaking community is phenomenal. I love you for it. Talk about where can people subscribe and, more importantly, reach out to you on social media to potentially see you running naked from a Viking. I would say Viking from a running down the street without your your cloth because you went commando. Oh, my goodness.
I'm always falling for tricks, man. I'm always falling for tricks. And they were mean for that because till this day, they keep on saying, hey, was it cold that night? I'm like, you son of a...
Oh, boy.
Mean as hell. Anyways, you can find the crazy one at Crazy Louie Gaming on Twitter. As you see me say good morning and do all sorts of crazy stuff. And also, you can find me on the Xbox International Podcast at 7 p.m. ET on Wednesdays with Silent Cypher, the Big Plume, and Sal Blow Gaming, and sometimes on Friday, XBI Podcast in Espanol with Eternal Shaddai, Asgard Gaming at 7 p.m. And hey, Mr. Booms, like always, thank you for having me on here on Mondays, hanging out with you all with Web Dave and Mr. Fuzzy Bubba Deers. Always awesome, man. Thank you so much.
Appreciate that very much. And Jason Max in the chat has more breaking news, more negative news for Sony. Folks, Jesus, this is just getting outrageous at this point. Marathon, the game from Bungie, has now been delayed until 2025. Yikes.
Wow.
I don't even know what to say. I am at a loss. And my wife, Mrs. Boom, says I'm long-winded. I don't even know what to say about Sony at this point. I don't even understand what is
they're going to offer around and find out.
They absolutely did. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, a big thank you to the 20 plus super chats. My God, thank you so much for supporting the channel. Thank you to the new channel membership members. Thank you to everyone that donated a membership. Leonard Herrera also donated five more channel memberships. So Leonard, brother, that is very kind of you. Thank you so much for the generosity, brother, and thank you for the support here at Double Barrel Gaming. We love you for it. Of course, obviously, this upcoming Friday is going to be the third annual Mrs. Boom's birthday bash. That Friday show, this upcoming Breakfast at Boom, we are giving away 10 $50 gift cards for the amount of $500, as we did for Mr. Boom's birthday bash in September. That is this Friday. The first five prizes go to channel members, and the next five will be available for anyone that is in the chat during the live stream. You have a shot at $50. And again, I do a picker. Basically, there'll be a hashtag that you'll just put into the chat. And the picker that we have, thanks to Dave telling me about this from StreamYards will pick the winner, and whoever they pick, well, that you just won.
Another super chat, boom.
Yeah, I just saw that. Thank you. Okay, Jacob Novick. Jacob, how's everything, kind sir? He drops a very generous $5 super chat and says, post up a tweet. I DM'd you. Bungie might be back on their Bungie might be back on their own in the next year or two. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. What? I have to. Wow. This is indeed bad news for Sony if they spent $3.6 billion for only for Bungie to walk away. Oh, my God. I have to read this. Brother, I appreciate it. I'm going to check it out. Folks, I don't know.
Surprise me.
It doesn't surprise me at all, but yikes. Yikes, yikes, and more yikes for Sony. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being here. We had almost 700 people here today, which is pretty awesome to start the week. Before you get on out of here, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button if you're finding Double Barrel Gaming for the first time. And of course, I'm going to close out today's show with something that's incredibly important to me. Hopefully one day it'll be important to you. And that's something that my dad taught me with kids. And he would say, Craig, treat others how you want to be treated. And also, it doesn't cost anything to be nice. You live by those rules, Craig. I can guarantee you, you're going to have an awesome day. So take care, everyone. And we'll see you next week on the newest episode of the Xbox Lunch Break Special.